anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. You're what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Good afternoon and welcome to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Well, this is Market Watch with yours truly, the Crow. It is TGIF. It is Friday, and boy, it's been a warm one in my part of the world. And I hope maybe we're getting a little rain. It kind of looks like we're getting a little cloudy, overcast today. So a little rain would be really beneficial. But anyway, still sitting on the sidelines. I've just kind of taken a sabbatical from trading and really enjoying it and able to get out and do some things in my yard and work on some little projects that I might not have had time to get to, but just really enjoying it. And after all of the years of struggling and fighting with the market and trying to trade and going through all of the different changes you have to go through and all of the effort it takes, it's really been enjoyable to kind of be on the sideline for a while and just kind of watch things and make sure that your investments are in a safe and sound kind of position, and just kind of let the world do whatever it's going to do, because you as individuals, we have very limited abilities to control anything other than our own actions. And that's basically kind of where I am. And watching, you know, the news and the events in Washington and the the presidential scenario that's being carried out. It's really kind of, I won't say comical, because our country is being closely monitored around the world from Europe, China, Japan, and all of our allies are really wondering, you know, well, what's really going on here? What's happening? And I think that most of our allies are probably in the same position that most of the people in this country are. Well, we really don't know, but we'll just we'll get through this. America is a strong, resilient nation, and we've been through critical times before, and we've always managed to climb out and even advance after that. So I think really the American tradition is, once you kind of body slammed us, we get up off of the mat and we're gonna put our moves on you, and we'll overcome anything that's thrown our way. That is the American way. We've done it through world wars. We've done it through all of the other events that has happened to this great country. So I have no fear. We'll get through this period of time, even though it is a troubling time, particularly if you're involved in the political side of it. And, you know, we've had times in the past of where there were presidents that we weren't in agreement with. I go back to Jimmy Carter, and and you know, I don't doubt that Jimmy Carter was a good man, a church-going person, and a good family man, any of that. But to be president of the United States is a distinctly different requirement on a human being. You're at the mercy of your public that you're serving in a degree. You're there to make decisions that affect over 325 or 30 million people. I'm not sure what the population is anymore accurately, but certainly around 325 or 30 million people in this country. And that includes the border, the lax border control. And there again, I can't even begin to go there with our border control. It's not our Canadian friends that are giving us the problems. It's the southern border that's really opened up. And you know, people are going there come across the border. You have no idea where they're from, what their intentions are, what their purposes are, who's sponsoring them, who's promoting them, what their intentions are. How many sleeper cells do we have there that we know absolutely nothing about? So we just got to get through this period of time and where we can establish some law and order in the country. Give our policemen back the ability to enforce the law, give our cities back the control that they need with their police departments and what have you, and return this nation to a degree of sanity. What's going on right now in many parts of the country is really just unfathomable for America. And not in my lifetime. Certainly I've not seen this in my lifetime. And so anyway, but I have no doubt that America will regain its sanity and the electoral process. We have got to completely make sure that the electoral process is not scam like some Chinese coronavirus episode in the past. We cannot go through this again. This was probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest tragedies ever pulled on the American people. And, of course, we have no one to blame except our political base in America, and also to blame the Chinese. Let's face the fact. That virus was created and incubated in China, and we know that. And yet here we are with our cargo ships still loaded with Chinese merchandise, when factories could be running in this country and making them, and with our neighbors in Canada and also Mexico. The three countries, if you take the three countries, and I've been preaching this as long as I can remember. You take our Canadian border with our Canadian friends and the Mexican border there with control of that and to become fully allied with our Mexican counterparts. We don't need to see Mexico as a somewhat of a renegade country. Mexico is a beautiful country with many millions of beautiful, great people there. And it's a resource that America could greatly use to its benefit, but yet it's being ripped apart, torn apart by the drug traffickers and all of the other things. And look, you cannot tell me that we can't control drugs in this country. A country that has the nuclear power, the air power, the military power that this country has, and you tell me that we can't control the drugs? I just have to believe that much of the drug money that's instituted and created from that end up going to some politicians, and I don't know who they are. I'm not into the government. I'm not into any agency that has any kind of ability to check on that kind of thing, but it just simply doesn't make sense. Most Americans are like me. They're just realist people that are hardworking and want to go to bed at night and feel that their country is safe. And you want to be able to go to the mall or what have you and not have to worry about somebody, some drug addict or what have you, attacking you or robbing you or what have you. That's all we want. And that's easily obtained if you just properly enforce the law. And that's what I feel like that the basic population of this country wants. Any country that permits itself to spiral out of control, you're going to have a form of some kind of breakup of the country if this continues. The United States is a nation of 50 states. Although you have Canada Alaska and Hawaii were the two recent states that made up the 50 states. But those are critical, vital parts of our United States. They're all critical to us. And the governors of these states, forget the Republican and Democrat and forget all of that party garbage that Washington throws down on us every day of our life. Let's say this first. We are Americans. That's number one. We're distinctly different from Europe. We're different from Russia. We're different from China. We are America, the country that has stood up in world wars and fought for people's lives to be able to live free. So let freedom ring again. Let that liberty bell sound, and let's give the people back the power in this country that we need and to defend our allies around the world and go on with life. I think that's basically all the general hardworking, and most Americans are hardworking people that have a family, that have bills to pay. We're not all part of that elite bunch in Washington, that 535 people that get up there, that go up there as common people, but the longer they're there, the wealthier they become. They submit and succumb to this money trap that's in Washington. That's all Washington has become, is a simple money trap. All of the countries that want to influence and companies that want to influence you, where do they go? They set up headquarters or offices around the environs of Washington because they know that these politicians, for a great majority of those, are for sale. We know all of this. So I just believe, and I get, when we have elections and we have a state representatives or congressmen that come in our area to campaign, I ask them hard questions. And sometimes they look at me like, well, you know, go sit down somewhere and shut up. We don't like that because we're potentates. We're your kings. We represent you. But we the people have the power, but we've let it slip away. Look at the voting percentage in America. The percentile of actual qualified people that sit home on election day and don't even get out and go cast their votes. Be you Democrat or Republicans, it's your responsibility to get out that day and vote, or independent, whatever you might be. I'm not advocating for one way or another. I traditionally am a Republican. I have expressed that many times here, but I have voted for Democrats in my lifetime and probably will in the future. But they will be Democrats that I feel like broke away from the National Democratic Party, and that tends to represent the local people more so than their opponent might. So that's what we've got to do, folks, is we have got to try our best to elect people that actually represent us. If you live in North Dakota or South Dakota, certainly you should be looking at the people that look out for the farm belt and for the cattle industry and the different things there. You want to know what those people are thinking. In my area of the world, we're a lot a military type installations like the shipyards and things that build our ships that circumvent the globe, you might say. And those are critical things. When a person is running for president, we want to know that our local shipyard, which the Litton Industries in on the Gulf Coast represents huge employment, and they build the most sophisticated ships in the world. And so those are things that we should be centering on, is what does that politician do for our military? What does it do for our ag? Look, if you don't support the agricultural industry in this country, who's going to feed America and who's going to feed a large part of the world? So our farmers are critical components of our overall society. If you don't have farmers, you don't have food. If you don't have cattle ranches to raise the beef that you and I so love to go to a restaurant and order that big filet mignon or that T-bone steak or what have you, what are we going to do? End up eating grasshoppers or what have you? But I just still have faith in the American people. In the upcoming election, the next presidential election, we've just got to get through this. I don't want anything to happen to our current president. I pray that God will look over him and protect him and just help our nation get through this critical period of time. That's all my prayers are for, is to get us through this period of time where we can have someone like Donald J. Trump that truly put America first. I have nothing against our friends in the UK. I have nothing against the Russian people. I have nothing against the Chinese people. But we're Americans. We should be looking out for American industry, for the American worker, for the American retired person that's sitting there drawing that Social Security check that could, you know, one day just play out. So we've got to protect those things, folks. That's not too much to ask, I don't think, of a politician. You've got to, I do normally, if when we have little rallies here and different politicians, I'm there and I'm on the front row and I ask them questions. And sometimes they look at you, well, like, shut up, you know, you shouldn't, don't ask me that. But we know what happens too many times. You take good people that become politicians and they get elected. And once they get to Washington, they go through the indoctrination process. Hey, you're one of us now. You just feed those people back home enough information to keep them shut up and quiet and happy and build up your campaign fund. And look, we've got people up here from all over the world that'll bring in money, millions and millions of dollars into your campaign if you'll just go along with some of their concepts and ideas. In fact, they will bring you much more money in than even your people back home. because these are working people back home that are taking money out of their monthly bills or what have you. And these people that that are here are countries that has that have endless amounts of money that they can throw into campaigns. So that's what I'm afraid has happened to our country, that external influence from the money that flows into these various campaigns in basically every state is really calling the shots, not the American people anymore. Think about that. You go out and you elect a member of Congress to go to Washington to represent you and your area of the country, be it the Corn Belt, be it the Farm Belt, be it the Cotton Belt. Even though, you know, we were the world's largest producer of cotton at one time in the world, but that's not true anymore. And the Farm Belt. Has to plead and beg for subsidies to be able to compete in the world market. And so, look, I don't have all the answers. We as citizens don't pretend to have all the answers. That's why we elect these people that are usually college graduates. They've graduated from college and they go into political science and then they finally move over and maybe they were, as Donald Trump was, a businessman and completely out of the field of politics. But he said, well, hey, look, I see some problems that I think that I can use my business acumen to translate over to the government. And well, the politicians in Washington say, look, we don't want anybody looking over our shoulder. We want to do as we've been doing. We want to spend. We want to do our special interest and all of those things, just like we've been doing. We had it great, and we want it back that way. And that's basically what has happened. Under the current president, things are moving their way back to just the way they were. You've got a few up there in Washington, senators and reps, that are actually still trying to stand up, but they're overwhelmed. And I think basically, and I've said it 100 times probably on this station, is when you get to Washington, they dehumanize you. They take the element out of you and say, you're one of us now. If you want the funds for your reelection, you've got to join our group. And that's what I'm afraid has happened to so many people. I've often said that that no member of Congress should be able to accept any money other than from out of their own state. Think about that. Why should a person in another country, for even maybe an enemy country, why should that country be able to contribute to the electoral process in your state? They shouldn't be. But of course, I would never be elected because I would stand up for that kind of thing, and that just wouldn't work. Because the money flow, money is the creator of evil. The love of money and the, look at most of your members of Congress. They may go in fairly poor. Maybe they just had a normal, decent life behind. But once they get into that, look at the millionaires and multimillionaires that you have when they come out of Congress because of all the connections that they've made with companies around the world, all the favors that are paid back to them. Well, we can't do too much while you're still in office, but stay in there and help us now. And we will take care of you. We'll set up funds that are accessible when you're out of office. And all of that things goes on that we don't even know about. The news is not going to cover it because the news really lives off of the Washington element. That's basically where they are. You take ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN, and all the major news outlets that are out there at this time, and all of their correspondents are basically eating at the same trough. They go to the same parties. They go to the same things. They go to the same celebrations. They get invited to the same places. And they rub elbows with the same people. And we, the people, are the ones that, once they get to Washington, they're pretty well controlled by the elements in Washington. They detach themselves from whence they came, from your area, and say, well, we're here to report now, but we have people that we particular party with and we like, and those are the people that we're going to cover and talk about. So anyway, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. That's why I'm not a politician. If I were a politician, I would try to do the right thing. That's just my nature. But, of course, I'm not, so therefore, I just do my griping personally, and then once a week do my griping here on the radio. And, of course, we have listeners all over the world, and I certainly don't want to degrade America because I still love the country. I still think it's a great country. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't still be here. I've traveled a lot, and I always kiss the ground when I land back in America, although I've been to many countries that I thought were great and enjoyed my time there and all, but it wasn't America. America was that beacon of shining hope on the hill for all of us to be able to start with very meager beginnings, work hard, be honest, do your job well, and you'll be rewarded commensurate with it. And that's basically all I've ever believed. And I still think it's true. But you've got many roadblocks that are out there now that you have to go through. We're going to take a break, but we will be right back with you. Stay with us. We're going to take a little ride, too, on the love train.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Welcome back to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Well, this is Market Watch with yours truly, the Crow. Although I've been sitting on the sidelines for a little while now, I just really thought it was time to take a break a little bit from the market and the stress that it puts you under, because really if you're involved in a trade as far as the futures, which was my specialty, the S&P futures, I did that for many years, and I said, well, it's time. You know, I'm not a person that believes that they just should strive every day of their life to accumulate money and money and money and then leave it to someone else. Money is a vehicle that you use to secure things in life and also to improve your own, your health or whatever. But it shouldn't be your main goal in life. Being a good citizen and being a good spouse to your wife and your family, those are the critical things. And if you're just ignore everything else in pursuit of making money, and regardless of that, then I think you've got a real problem. And so I just thought it was time for me to, and I really, truly enjoyed it. I'm working outside, keeping my yard up, doing little projects. different things that building little this and repairing. That's another thing. You know, if you own a house with my size, it's not a huge home, 3,200 square feet, I think, somewhere around there. And then my outside buildings, but the grass, the trimming of your hedges and plants and all of that, that occupies a lot of time, and I enjoy every minute of it. I really do. I love to work outside. I don't mind cutting the grass. I enjoy it because when you get through, you can look back across your lawn and say, oh, that looks pretty good, and you've accomplished something. And I never have been one to hire my grass cut or what have you. I did that for a couple of times when I had a little surgery that kind of laid me back a little bit, and I wouldn't do it then. But other than that, I just thoroughly enjoy working outside and doing a little perspiring and getting a little of that those toxins out of your body and moving around, keeping your joints working. And I hope to do that until my last day. God has blessed me with maybe better than average health. I don't know. I don't know what average is. But at my age, I think that I'm able to do most anything. I can get up on the roof or do whatever I need to do. And I am thankful for that and feel blessed. But anyway, getting back to our country, I just really am, I think in my lifetime on this earth and in this country, and I've traveled a lot to other countries, but I've still always felt like kissing the ground when I got back to America. Not that other countries are not great, Canada, Mexico, you name it, they're great. Europe, all of that, our friends in the UK. But I am really concerned with the UK. It seems to me that there's really a loss of control in the UK with, I don't know, I'm not going to blame it on immigrants or what have you, but it seems like the culture and a lot of Europe is being modified and changed before our very eyes as we see this. And I think any country has the right to control who enters their country. The Mexican border, for instance, we have no idea who's coming across our border. Border Patrol is pretty well a lost cause. And, of course, I think the same thing could apply to Canada. I don't know how much is really being crossed there, but it's a possibility. You could have someone that really wants to do harm to your nation. And if they're able to slip across the border or what have you and put bombs together, I think we've been very fortunate to this point. Very, very fortunate that we haven't had more actions from that kind of activity. So maybe it's time to buckle up a little bit and start paying attention. And I don't think the current administration, personally, I have nothing against the Biden or the Biden family. I just don't think he was the best qualified for the job. I think Donald Trump was probably the best president we've had in quite a while. I was a huge fan of John Kennedy, even though Kennedy was a Democrat. But I thought Kennedy, in my opinion, he put America first. And that's all we want a president to do, is always put our nation first. Don't let these other countries come in and pile in the money in your little hidden accounts and what have you, and do what's been going on, in my opinion. That's not a true American tradition, and it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be permitted to happen. We're supposed to have laws and regulations that apply to pretty well you and I and everyone on the street, but it seems like there are members of Congress and people at the presidential level and cabinet levels that don't have to answer to a lot of those things that we do as common citizens. So that's all we want, is we want fair treatment. We want equal treatment, regardless of your race or your ethnic background or what have you. Let's just be fair and equal to each other. That's all that I expect and could ever hope for. I'm a trader. That's what I do. I was in the retail business for many years, a very successful retail business. And it basically during all of that time, I was still a trader in the market. I had live data coming in. I had ticker tapes back in the days of, in fact, I've still got an old Dow Jones ticker and an old tape machine. When all of the transactions were printed on the old ticker tape, I still have the old Translux ticker. I guess it's a really should be a pretty well an antique now. But so I've watched a lot of America change. And as people have, you know, the population has grown. I can remember when our population was, you know, we're going back to my early beginning, it was probably less than 200 million. And now we're a country that we think that there's around 330 million or so people here. And I don't know. I'm not against immigrants. Immigrants built the nation, and I am for that. But you should know who those people are. That's all we as citizens like myself want and expect. Know who you're letting in. And that's what built the nation. It's as simple as that. So anyway, having taken a kind of a sabbatical from the market and standing on the sideline, and I've really enjoyed it, I've been able to do some things around my house, and I love carpentry. I love to build things. And, oh boy, put me in a hardware store, and if they've got a new tool or something that I don't have, I'm like a kid in the playground. I've got more tools than I'll ever be able to use. But when I see a good one and it's maybe on sale, I just can't resist it. You know, I'll go ahead and buy it. Say, well, maybe I'll need that tomorrow or next week or whatever. But anyway, I'm basically a happy person. I love our country. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my tinker, my Chihuahua, even though he's getting a little old. And he's had a few problems lately, but he's still a very dear companion and stays with me every minute that he possibly can. He likes to sit in the chair with me and kind of lay in my lap. I keep a little blanket there for him to lay on. And he thoroughly enjoys it, and I enjoy him as well. I think animals, to me, have always been an important part of my life. Dogs are, I think, distinctly different from any other animal. And I love cats. I got cats that I feed outside every day. And believe me, they look for it. They're sitting there, well, when is feeding time? And I feed them. I don't even keep up with what my cat food bill is, but it's sometimes I think they eat about as much as the cost is about equal to what I do. But anyway, I'm not going to let them go hungry. I feed them. And the only thing about it is you get, seems like an extra one shows up from somewhere. Maybe people are dropping them off. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. I have one that's just shown up in the last few weeks. It's bobtail. Someone had clipped the tail off, and he just taken liberty to say, well, this is my new home. And he's really a tomcat, but he's really a very sweet and gentle cat. And so, yeah, this is his new home. He's welcome here. We'll feed him and take care of him and do the best we can with him. So anyway, I hope each and every one of you got through the holiday season, and we don't have another one, I guess, until I hadn't even looked at the calendar to see what the next holiday is. But we're getting into that time of the year when we'll have Thanksgiving not too far off, and then, of course, the big one of the year, Christmas, which I enjoy that time of the year more than any other time. I like cooler weather. I won't say cold, freezing weather, but I like cool weather where you can get out and do outside work and without just sweating down, you know, completely. So I'm looking forward to that. And I've always got some little building project or something going on that I can. And don't let me go to a hardware store and see a tool that, well, I don't think I got that. Because chances are I will have that new tool when I walk out the door. I guess you could say I am a tool freak. And when I pass on, I hopefully my son and my son-in-law and others can look at those tools and say, well, we'll take them and we'll have them. We won't have to buy them. But anyway, I don't know. I've kind of been in a very good mood lately. I think because I see that our country, even though we're going through this period of time, we're going through, an administration that I'm not in favor of, or I don't want anything to happen to anyone in the administration. Let nature take its course with all of that. But I will be glad to see a new election process take force. And let's put some people in office, and that goes at your senators and your representatives. These people get in these jobs, and they think that they own them forever, and they want to stay there forever because look at the benefits that they get and all of the contributions. And remember, when it's all over with, whatever's in their political campaigns, they take home with them tax-free. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you like to have a business on the side that could do that? That's a great situation. And they kind of look out for themselves. They said, well, wait a minute here. We're a very select group of people. There's only 535 of us and in the cabinet. And, that's not much when you got a nation of 230 million or how many ever's here. I don't know that our census even knows has a clue to how many people are here anymore. But anyway, we're still a great nation. I love it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I've traveled a lot, as I've said many times. But still in all, I love America. And I want what's best for America. And I think it's time, when we have the next election, to really look at the possibilities and look at what the past president did for the nation and look at what the current administration, if the current president intends to run again, and he says he fully intends to run again, look at the age factor. I think, personally, I believe that there should be age limits on president. I certainly am too old to be a president. I would never even want to put myself in that position. But I do think that we need age limits on when a person is able to serve as president. Not being discriminatory in any fashion. I'm not from a racial standpoint or any of those points. But age takes its toll on all of us. And with the pressure that's on a president, you need a person that's alert, very sharp, up to date, and with the full mental faculties. I mean, after all, we're supposedly the most powerful nation on earth. And I guess with all of our military and nuclear capabilities and all, well, I guess that we could claim that, although China and Russia might both want to argue a little bit about that and say, well, You can't mess with us because we could do you in as well. So that's where we are. We're in a country of where self-destruction is almost guaranteed from at least two of our enemies, and maybe even Pakistan. We don't really know what Pakistan's capabilities are, but we know that they're pretty well assured that they're nuclear. And think of that. The nations that has nuclear capabilities to annihilate entire countries, it's just unfathomable that we have reached that point in our life. That's a dangerous world that we live in. And when you go to bed at night, thank the good Lord that has spared America anything, and hopefully we can continue to do that right on into the future, and stay safe. There's room on this earth for all of our people, for all of our races, religions, whatever. We can live together if we just learn to quit fighting each other and destroying things. Look at what war destroys, and then you got to go build it back again. It doesn't make sense, does it? It's like me going out and tearing down my garage. Unless I wanted to build a much better one, but basically that's not what's at play here. We rebuilt Europe after the Second World War with the different funds that we set up to rebuild Europe, and but we can't keep doing that. We can't just keep destroying. Because eventually you're going to run out of these resources that give you that ability to do that with. So anyway, I think the 4th of July is something that we really celebrate and think about this time of year. From 1776 right on through. The 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas are, you know, those critical, and Easter as well. I don't want to overlook Easter at all, because that's probably one of the tops of the list. But these holidays have meaning, and we should be really celebrating those true meanings of what that event depicts. And I don't think any are more critical than Easter. I don't think any are more, secondly, Thanksgiving, Christmas, of course, the birth of Christ. That's what it's supposed to depict, and we're celebrating. But is that what it's become? It's really become, what am I going to give this one for Christmas, and what are they going to give me? And the meaning of Christmas has really gotten materialized to the point of, I think sometimes we just overlook what the true meaning of Christmas is really supposed to be, the celebration of that. So to me, those 3 days, Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas, are critical holidays for me. They're ones that you should be able to celebrate with your family. Have a wonderful, enjoyable meal, or have family over. It's a great time of the year for that. And weather now, I've been watching the weather pretty closely, and I haven't seen a lot of rain in the Midwest, and it really has me concerned for the price of beef and also the grain prices. And we've already seen a real escalation in prices. If you've bought anything at the stores lately, you know that without me mentioning it. But I think that from the weather patterns that I've been observing in the Midwest and all, I don't think there's any relief out there. I think prices are going to continue to creep up. You know, the Midwest, which is the grain belt, if you don't get the moisture in the ground, farmers aren't able to get their crops in the ground, and we could have real crop shortages. That worries me about as much as anything that I think about is weather patterns affecting the crop growth and therefore the price of food will just continue to escalate. And we're already with prices at record highs, I guess, around the board. That's called inflation. And inflation, I don't think it will ever be controlled in our lifetime. I think that the way the system works, prices will continue to slowly grow more and more inflationary as we move along. So anyway, it's about time. We're going to be cutting loose here in a couple or 3 minutes. But Deacon John will follow me, and he always has some really interesting and valid points to bring out. And a lot of time, I miss the hijacker. I really, I think he has a lot of good ideas and concepts that are there. And of course, the one that I miss more than anyone is the great Nighthawk himself. And Liz, I hope she is doing well. And the people that are keeping the station alive, each and every one of you guys back there and girls that are in the background, Lady Horse and all the others, I don't really communicate don't get in the chat rooms anymore. But I do remember each and every one of you that has really kept this station on the air and keep us going and growing. And remember, the main thing is we are listener supported. It doesn't require you to take food off your table or anything else, but a $10 or $20 contribution on a monthly basis, because the bills come around every month to pay for the station and keep it on air. And boy, would it be a tragedy to lose this station. After all of Nighthawk's work and effort that he put into it. And so we just got to keep it going. So 10, 20 bucks a month is not going to break anybody's piggy bank. And it only goes to pay the bills. No one is living or making their living off of the sponsorship of this station. I've never received any money, never would accept any money for my little contribution to the station. But I think we're about to run out of time here. There's the music. God bless each and every one of you. And stay with us. Deacon John follows me, and we'll see you again next week. Take care. God bless.
At Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Hello, My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and...